Now we're turning to 2 Kings chapter 8, and we're going to unite together at the throne of grace in prayer. Our loving God and our Father, we thank thee for the opportunity again of seeking thy face, and we bow humbly at thy feet, and we just ask thee for the speaking voice of God now. We don't want to go through a ritual tonight or today as we gather in thy presence. We want to meet with thee, want to hear thy voice. And our God, we pray particularly for those that are going through tough times and hard times, and times, our God, when it seems as if they don't know where to turn. We pray, Lord, that even thy word would lift them up and help them today as we think of this woman who went through tough times and hard times and difficult times. So, Lord, bless us as we wait upon thee, for it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. In 2 Kings chapter 8, we are reintroduced to the Shunammite woman, the woman of Shulam, that we met before in chapter 4 of 2 Kings. You remember how that this woman of Shunam is described as a great woman. And she was great in the eyes of the Lord, and we showed you a few weeks ago some of the reasons why she was a great woman in the eyes of God. Now you remember that she provided Elisha with a prophet's chamber up on the wall of her house, up on the roof. And every time the prophet would come, he had a place to stay. And she provided him with food and hospitality. And she was a woman who looked after the servant of the Lord. And then we read how that she was given a reward of the Lord for her hospitality and for her faithfulness in the service of God. She was given a son, and the little boy was born, and he was a great blessing in that household. For that woman never expected that she was ever going to have a son, and how she treasured her little boy. But then we remember how that one day that little boy was out in the fields with his father and touched his head and cried, "My head, my head." And the father brought the little boy in, and in the lap of his mother, that little boy passed away and died. And remember how she immediately ran for the prophet and brought the child, or the prophet came to see the child, rather, and laid himself 7 times upon that child. And the child sneezed 7 times and came to life. And we remember the blessings that there were in this woman's life. But then that incident seems to have been many years ago from what we read here. And by this time it seems as if the woman's husband has died, because you'll find that there's no mention of a husband here in this portion of Scripture. We found out before, if you read the account, that the woman's husband was old. And so perhaps it's not surprising that by this time she is a widow. And one day she is out looking after things, and she sees the prophet coming down the road. And what joy it must have been to her to see Elisha. How she must have looked forward to the visits of the man of God as he came to see her. And she would have stayed up in that little prophet's chamber, and I'm sure she enjoyed the fellowship of the man of God. But this time, the man of God has not good news. Indeed, it is very dire news as far as she is concerned. And what he says is, there's going to be a famine in the land. And he says, "I advise you to take your household and all your family and flee and go away into a place where you'll be fed, and into a country where you'll be a stranger, into a strange land and into a strange country, but somewhere where you'll be fed in the midst of the famine." And he says the famine will last 7 years. Now this woman was a widow, and it was hard enough for a widow in those days without having to go to a strange land. And this was going to be marked by difficulty, this having to go away to a strange place, place where she knew nobody, place where she would be treated as an alien, as a foreigner. Where would she go? And yet we read that she faithfully does what the man of God has told her to do, and gets up, and her world is turned upside down by this message of the man of God. And life is a way of doing that sometimes. Sometimes we're just going about our day by day duties, And we're doing the things that we normally do. And indeed, we may be serving the Lord in so many ways. And yet sometimes we get a bit of news or something happens in our lives that just turns our world upside down. And sometimes it seems as if the bottom just drops out of your world. And it seems as if there's an unexpected turn of events, something you couldn't foresee. And sometimes it's good that we can't see the things that lie up ahead for us. But when those things happen, we are often led to wonder about what God is doing. It's only natural at times to wonder why God lets us go through those things, why God brings those hard times and those difficult times, and why we have to pass through the trials. And after all, this woman had already gone through big enough trials. She had lost her son. He had died. And then had been restored to life again. And you'd think that one trial was enough. And yet here we read of trials heaped upon trials. And yet God is faithful to this woman and brings her through at the end. And I think that we'll see at the end of the story that God was still faithful to her. And I want us to be encouraged today. I know that there are many of you that either just in the past or even now are going through days of real difficulty and real trial. And I know it's only natural for us to wonder what God is doing and why God is bringing us through these things. But I will want you to see today the encouragement of this portion of Scripture, because we see that God does have His hand upon events, and God does have His hand upon the circumstances that we go through. So for a few moments again, we want to look at the Shunammite, and we want to see three things in particular that stand out about her in this portion of Scripture. And the first thing I want you to see about her is her trust. Now, I've told you that the prophet comes with this news that she's going to have to be a refugee. She'd have to go in to leave her country. She'd have to go to a new country. And she was going to undergo the trials of being a widow in a foreign land. And we wonder why it would happen. Because this woman has been faithful to God. She's been serving the prophet. She has been doing nothing wrong. Sometimes God does send chastisements. And sometimes the trials that we go through are our own fault. But you know, it's not always so. We read of Paul and so many of the apostles that went through trials and difficulties because they were serving the Lord, because they were on the right path, because they were walking with God. Trials and difficulties certainly can come across the path of those that are the Lord's. And this woman now was facing a dire situation. But I want you to see this, that even in the midst of that, she trusts the Lord. Her trust is not broken. Her faith in God is not broken. He's asking her to do something difficult, indeed in those days, well nigh impossible. But she does it. Look at verse 1. It says in that verse there, in chapter 8, 2 Kings 8, verse 1, "Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise, and go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. Now look at what she does in verse 2. "And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. Now she doesn't even seem to have questioned. She doesn't even seem to have hesitated. It just says that the man of God says, go and sojourn in another land because of the famine, and it says that she just arises with her household, and away she goes, and away down into the land of the Philistines. Now, the land of the Philistines, right to this very day, the Palestinians down there in Gaza, is a very fertile land. And you read in the Bible about Samson sending the foxes, he put firebrands on the tails of foxes, and sent them through the cornfields of the Philistines. It was a land of cornfields. A land of great prosperity. And if there was ever going to be a land where there would be food, it would be in the land of the Philistines. But we notice here the unhesitating and unquestioning obedience of this woman. Even though God is putting her through hardship, says, I'm going to trust you. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him, said Job. And the Bible says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And the Bible says in Revelation 22 and 14, blessed are they that do his commandments. It's not just a matter of hearing God's word, but it's a matter of putting it into practice. And no matter that the days may be difficult, and no matter how hard and difficult the situation that we find ourselves in may be, we've got to put our trust in the Lord and walk on with him. Put our hand in the hand of the one who knows the future and trust him that he will bring us through and he will guard us along the way and that he will bring us out on the other side. But we see the unhesitating obedience and the trust of this woman. And you know, sometimes God wants us to do difficult things. God wants us to do hard things. There are things in the work of God that are hard, and there are things that are difficult. So many of God's people today are looking for the glory things. My, it would be great in the time of reaping. It would be great to reap in the harvest and see multitudes of souls won to the Lord Jesus Christ. But they're not just as willing to do the ploughing and to sow the seed and to go out and knock the doors and to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ and tell them about the one who died on the cross and do the hard things and the difficult things. And this woman here was called to do something difficult. She loved her people. Remember when Elisha before had offered her to send her to the court and she could live amongst the people in the court. She said, I will dwell among mine own people. She loved her own people. But she had to go up. She had to get up and leave. And sometimes God may send those of his servants away to the far-flung mission fields. Away from home. Away from the earthly comforts of this scene of this country and the things around us to harder circumstances, to more difficult circumstances. But we have got to be prepared to go and like this woman say, I'll trust you. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do, no matter how hard and difficult it may be. And young people, maybe God is saying to you, I want you to go and labor for me in some other place. Well, we've got to take up our cross and follow the Lord and go where he wants us to go. And you know, I'm sure that when this woman, later on in her life, looked back and she realized that there had been a famine in the land and so many of her neighbors and friends had died in the famine, she blessed God that she had a bed. She blessed God that she'd done what the prophet had said. She came back after the 7 years and saw the country devastated by famine. And she saw what had happened. And she thanked God she had survived. Her family had survived. Her household had survived. Why? Because she had done what God wanted her to do. And we always walk in God's best. God's second best is not good enough. Never mind God's third best or anything else. And the Bible says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And this woman believed God. Even though she was going through the trials, even though it was hard to leave her own country that she loved and she wanted to be with her friends or neighbors, she went and did what God wanted her to do. And I wonder today, will you trust God? Things may be hard for you. Things may be difficult for you. Things may be right down in the very darkest and in the most gloomy circumstances. But trust the Lord. Don't let go of the Savior today. Don't let go of his hand. Take him and let him bring you through. Even as this woman trusted the Lord. There was a trust here, an unhesitating obedience to what the word of God was for her. But then not only do we see her trust, but look at her trial. Because after 7 years, we're not told much about the 7 years in the land of the Philistines here. But after 7 years, she comes back. And when she comes back, she finds that all her land has been taken from her. Now, this seems to have been a practice amongst the people of the land. Even in 1857, Dr. Thompson, writing in The Land and the Book, his volume, The Land and the Book, he said that, and I quote, it is still common for petty sheiks to confiscate the property of any person who is exiled for a time or who moves away temporarily from his district. And then he said, especially is this true of widows and orphans. So this woman had gone at the command of God, had gone at the bidding of God, and was obedient to God, and had gone away from her land, and she comes back, and she finds that her home is gone, and all her familiar circumstances are taken away from her. And if she thought, and she was blessing God, I'm sure as she made her way up the pathway towards her home, she was blessing God that she had survived the 7 years, and her family had survived the 7 years because she had obeyed the Lord, and now she comes and she finds somebody occupying her home. It's been stolen from her. And wouldn't it have been natural for her to think to herself, well, maybe the Lord wasn't looking after me as well as I thought. Maybe the Lord wasn't taking care of me the way that I thought. And maybe then she began to question and say to herself, but Lord, why did you let that happen? Why did you let that body get into my house and take my land and work the land that is mine? Why did you let that happen? I've been obedient to you. I've been doing what you wanted me to do. And here I am, coming home, looking forward to getting into the house. And my son, he's looking forward to getting back into this house. 7 years we've been away, and how we have longed for the day when we come home. And here we are home, and there's no home for us. Wasn't that a desperate trial for the woman? Wasn't that a desperate circumstance for her to face? It almost dashed her spirit, you would imagine. And so the woman goes to the king and begins to plead for her situation. And we wonder sometimes, and I say it's only natural for us to wonder. Maybe the thought has entered into our minds and our hearts. Is God in charge at all? Was this such a good thing? You know, the psalmist once cried out. He said, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? We think of so many who have said the same thing in days gone by. And we have said to ourselves, is God there? Is God looking down? Does God know what is happening to me? Is God taking knowledge of what is taking place? And we look at the ungodly, and they're making their millions, and they seem to be prospering, and we wonder what is going on. Do you know what is wrong? We take snapshots. We take snapshots of what is taking place now. We have to remember that God knows the whole thing, from the end to the beginning. And when we take the snapshot, sometimes it looks as if God is not looking down. Sometimes it seems as if God's people are being persecuted by the world, and the cheats and the liars are getting on, and we wonder to ourselves what is taking place. But we take snapshots. And when you take a snapshot, you often come up with a wrong evaluation of the situation. You think of Joseph. You remember Joseph, when Joseph was put in the prison. And he had been serving God, and he had sought to be faithful to God. And yet his master's wife had accused him of immorality that he was innocent of. And he was put in the prison. And there he was, languishing in the prison for a number of years, and ignored, it seems. And there he was, shut off from any influence, and shut off from anything that he could do. But God had a plan for Joseph. And you might have taken the snapshot of Joseph in the prison and said to somebody, there, look at Joseph. He serves the Lord. Where is his God? But you know, Joseph, when he looked back, could say to his brethren, ye thought evil of me. And what you did, you meant for evil to me. But he says, God meant it unto good, to save as it is this day much people alive. And we thank God today that the Lord is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. And we think of how so many of God's people, we think of the prophet Habakkuk, and he couldn't understand how God was sending in a heathen nation to overrun the land of Judah. And he took a snapshot and he said, where is God? And he said, therefore the law is slack, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass the righteous. And he took the snapshot. And he said, things are going wrong, and the wicked are prospering, and God's people are being undermined. Where are you, Lord? What is happening here? But in the end, God worked it all out. Job, in the midst of all his trials, was able to say, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And thank God for the fact that the Lord has a plan and purpose. And we can take snapshots, but the Lord knows the end from the beginning. And so we see this woman's trust, and we notice her trial. But then the third thing I want you to notice is her triumph. Because she goes now to the king, and she pleads her case before the king, and you'll read here that eventually she gets her land back. But I want you to see the circumstances in which she gets her land back, and I want you to see how completely she gets things back. Because here we see the marvelous way that God is working in the life of this woman. Now, notice how all things were working together for good to them that love God. We often quote that verse of Scripture, and sometimes we doubt it. But here's a great illustration of it. Now, you notice what happens here. The woman comes in to plead her case before the king. She's a widow woman. Normal circumstances, she wouldn't have had much hope. She wouldn't have had much chance. Many a widow woman would have come to the king, and I'm sure he listened sympathetically at times to widows, but I'm sure there are many times when cases like this were dismissed. But she happens to come in at the very time that Gehazi, the former servant of Elisha, has been telling the king about the antics and about the great triumphs that Elisha the prophet has had. And he's happening to tell the king about the time when Elisha raised the Shunammite's son to life. Now, Gehazi at this time is a leper. And some people have questioned how a leper was in the presence of the king. But the leper could come into the presence of the king as long as the king did not touch him. But nevertheless, he's here talking to the king, because we read it here in the Word of God. And he's here telling the king about the Shunammite. And as he's telling the king about the Shunammite, in comes the Shunammite and her son. And Gehazi said, this is the woman. Here's the woman I'm talking about. And here is the son that I've been talking about. And the king asked her, are you the woman? Did this really happen to you? And she said, yes, this is what happened to me. And this was one of the great stories that Gehazi had told the king. And here's a ready listening ear now. The king has an ear to listen. He wants to hear what this woman has to say. And so she pleads her case. And she says, my lord, O king, or this is the woman, but look at verse 6. It says to her, or verse 4, and the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray, all the great things that Elisha hath done. And then it says in verse 5 how that she comes in. And it says in verse 6, and when the king asked the woman, she told him, so the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers, and all the fruits of the field, since the day that she left the land, even until now. So the king appoints her an officer. He listens to her case. He's going to give her back her land. And not only is he going to give her back her land, but he sends an officer with her, a military officer, to make sure that she gets back the land. So God has answered her prayers, and she's getting back her land. But more than that, I want you to see what God has done to her now. Because not only does she get back the land, but the king says that she has to get all her fruits, restore all that was hers, and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. So this woman had gone away in a day of famine. She wouldn't have got the fruits of the land. She had left her land, and it was a day of famine. I'm sure there mightn't have been too much fruit, but there was some. She was going to get all that back. All that the man had done, all the tending of the field, she was getting that back. Not only that, but somebody had lived in her home from the day, or almost the day that she had left. So she was getting not a derelict house, a house that would have fallen down in 7 years, but a house that had been kept and maintained. She got her house back. It had been kept it had been maintained. She'd been fed in the land of the Philistines, and she got back all the store and all the fruits of the land that there had been in 7 years. So she got back really double what she would have got before. And the Lord had undertaken for her. Well, it seemed as if God had left her. It seemed as if nothing could be done, and that all things were against this woman, and she came home and there was no home for her. But God was really undertaking for her, and she got back not only what she had in the land of the Philistines, but the fruit of her land and a house that had been maintained for 7 years. Wasn't God good to her? And when she looked back, she could see what God had done. And we look around us and the trials that we face, and we see all the things that take place, and sometimes we wonder. But never wonder, child of God, for God is in control of all things, and all things do work together for good to them that love God, to them that love are the called according to His purpose. One day the Duchess of Gordon was visiting the old castle of Huntly in the neighbourhood where she lived. It was a time of change in her life, and she had to leave her old home, and she was taking up the burdens of new responsibilities. And she was very sad at heart to be leaving the old familiar surroundings and to be going away to another place. And she visited the old hall, Huntly Castle. And in Huntly Castle, there is a very fine old fireplace, and all around there are different inscriptions in the great hall in Huntly Castle. And there is a big inscription that runs right along the big chimney piece, one of the big old chimneys that you would have had in a castle in those days. And she tried to read the inscription, but she couldn't read it because it was a wee bit dirty and a bit all covered over, and she stood there for a few minutes and tried to make it out. And then she was about to pass on, the people that she was with, they were just making their way out, and a shaft of sunlight came through the window and fell on the inscription and just lit it up so that she could read the inscription. And the inscription in Old English was, "To theirs that love God, all things works to the best." And she believed that that was a message from God. To theirs that love God, all things works to the best. And thank God we can say the same. We can say the same. Can you say that today? Can you say it with all your heart? To those that love God, all things work to the best. Mightn't look like it. Mightn't seem like it. But do like this woman did. Put your hand in His hand. Let Him bring you through. He will bring you out into the sunshine. He will bring you out in from the shadows. And He will bring you to that place of blessing. Keep your hand in His hand. And if you're not saved today, will you put your hand in His hand? All things work together for good to them that love God. But if you don't love Him, you can't expect good. And there will be no good to you at the end of the day. But trust Him today and seek Him as your Savior. Let's just bow, please, in a word of God, of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. We thank Thee, Lord, for the fact that though this woman went through trying circumstances, through difficulties, yet, Lord, we thank Thee that Thou didst bring together all things for her. And, Lord, she had far more than she would have had. She hadn't gone through all those trials and difficulties. Lord, we see it in the life of Job. We see it in the life of so many others in the Scriptures, that God worked all things together for good. And we pray, our God, that we might trust in Thee and we might know Thy direction and Thy guidance even along the pathway of life. Write Thy word upon hearts and lift us up today, for it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Hymn